Coming up on tomorrow's show, Bill O'Brien, the head coach of Boston College football. And I don't know, maybe he had the luxury of deploying Shime's play and we didn't even know it in that big win on Saturday.
Oh, the seam pass?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Off of play action.
Yeah. Play action, pass, to the tight end down the seam.
Yeah.
Well, did a tight end score?
Well, that's a good question. I'd have to go back and check.
Oh, maybe. Oh, so Shime's play is a big play. Doesn't this have to be a touchdown play?
Right.
Yeah, big chunk play.
So Bill O'Brien tomorrow.
A chunky play.
Bill O'Brien tomorrow and Craig Breslow, the chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox, tomorrow as an entire region holds their breath and waits for the MRI results on Roman Anthony's oblique. So that will all be on tomorrow's show. Now, I would like to open the Window World of Boston, WEEI, weather window for our weather smoke, Chris Curtis, so he can poke his bald head outside and give us a forecast for today. Curtis?
It feels like football. 56 degrees, gorgeous, brisk morning here in Boston. Afternoon high, sunny, approaching 80. Going to be 80 tomorrow, 82 Friday, 85 Saturday with some thunderstorms, and looking cloudy but dry on Sunday in the low 70s at Gillette Stadium.
All right. Excellent. You can get a whole house full of windows installed for just $99 a month from Window World of Boston. So go to windowworldofboston.com. And summer, really, I guess, I get all depressed about it, but it does get extended well into September with temperatures in the 80s. So I think the mental approach, the lifestyle changes. Mm-hmm. You're not going to as many barbecues.
Right.
You can look at September and go, you know what? I overdid it all summer long. I gotta take a break. I gotta go salads. I gotta get out there and walk or run. Speaking of running. We have put this year's annual Jingle All the Way 5K registration opportunities up. So we are back in the Seaport again on December, I think it's December the 6th. And there will be, I'm assuming, a live Curtis and Ken show on Jingle All the Way 5K day.
Yeah, I'm going to hardo host into the AirPod while jogging.
This event, if you love Christmas like I love Christmas, it's arguably the best event of the Christmas season.
It is.
When it comes to the social calendar. So, and you have time. You got September, October, and November. So you got 3 months. You can go couch to 5K, set a goal for yourself. If I can run, walk this thing, then you can run, walk this thing. And sign up now, you get a deal on pricing.
You know who may win it this year?
Who?
Chris Curtis.
Well, he has been running a lot.
He's been running a lot.
Yeah.
I'm trying to. It's my goal. I just want to beat Bobes, if we're being honest. But
you'll never beat Bobes.
Honestly, though, like as someone who gets, you know, incorrectly labeled a grump, the Jingle All the Way thing is awesome. It's not too deep into December where you're tired of all that stuff.
Right.
And it takes over the Seaport. And then after, there's a million things to do, just like the Snowport. So if you want a $17 piece of gum, you should go to the Snowport.
No, it's everybody dresses up. You got, if you're watching the show on Twitch or YouTube now, you can see you have Grinches, you have elves, you have Mrs. and Ms. Clauses. Like everybody dresses up and gets in the spirit, and then we have a giant party afterwards. So I would love to have you there. If you want to sign up and bring a bunch of your friends and run or walk, go to thegreghillfoundation.org. That's thegreghillfoundation.org for this year's Jingle All the Way 5K. Okay. We have leads left this morning, including one from Courtney. Hello, Courtney.
Hello, everybody. Are you dating a psychopath? There is a new study out on cyber psychology behavior and social networking, and it focuses predominantly on men.
Well, of course. And that's why you're going to go to this immediately.
Well,
but go ahead.
But actually, at the end, I'll tell you what the signs are if you're dating a woman.
Okay.
If you are dating a man and their dating profile is very popular, look out for red flags. That is red flag number one. Number two, if you went on a Tinder date, a Hinge date, a Bumble date with a man and slept with him on the first date, He's promiscuous. Well, red flag number two.
Wait a second.
Yep.
So are you.
Well, right. But they say it doesn't count for the women.
What?
Doesn't count for the women.
So if you slept with a dude, a one-night stand, first night that you met on a dating app.
Yep.
He's probably a psycho. Yep. That's what the experts are saying.
Narcissist and psychopath.
She's not.
But not her.
So, wow.
She is, in return, lowering her standards. This is the study is saying, okay. Not
is this
me.
Study
I think
from
that,
a woman?
Nope. Okay. I'm saying you should do whatever you want. Yeah. You should
Why wouldn't the guy be lowering his standards to sleep with the woman?
Nope. It's just, I'm just telling you what the study is.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, they're saying that just as many women go on dates as men on these dating apps, but it's only the men that have these narcissistic behaviors and treat their dating profiles as some type of psychopath red flag. If you are dating a woman right now and want to know if she's a psychopath, look at how much makeup she's wearing. The study found that if she does not put on blush, any type of lip product or mascara, psychopath.
What? Who doesn't put on like a lip balm or something like that? What women
some
go
people
out
don't.
With just the dry lips?
Some people don't.
Jeffrey Dahmer's sister.
Which I found so interesting because I always thought that if you weren't wearing makeup, like you were a cool girl, like you were comfortable in your skin. Nope, psychopath.
You're natural.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So if a guy has a very active dating profile.
Which worries me because my husband was on Hinge's Most Eligible Bachelors. That's how I found him.
Oh, yeah. So he's very active in the dating world. So he's a psychopath.
I mean, you might be.
He called me a psychopath because I like oatmeal cream pie cookies.
He did. He did do that.
That was hurtful.
All right. Thank you, Courtney. Wiggy, good morning.
All right, good morning. So with the Patriots getting ready to play this Sunday, I am hoping and I am praying based off preseason, just based off of seeing some of the things that he has been able to do when it comes to the joint practices, I'm hoping that Travion Henderson is their number one back. They're starting running back.
Okay.
I think he should get the bulk of the carries. I think he should get first and second down.
What about Ramondre?
I don't need to see Ramondre.
Really?
I think Travion Henderson, that should be the guy.
He's got butterfingers, Ramondre.
Yeah, and Travion Henderson is a guy that you can...
Now, wait, does that mean you like him more?
I don't want to run him into the ground, but he should be the guy, you know, come Sunday, opening day, he should be the guy that's in the backfield first down. He's more explosive.
Well, fair warning. I don't know if you saw this. The unofficial depth chart that came out.
He's number three depth chart-wise.
This is why I'm saying I think this is stupid. He's your most explosive back. He is probably your best back when it comes to his ability to make people miss in the open field and catch the football.
And there's something of his you won't miss.
Yes, and he brings to the table a big stick when he runs with the football, meaning where he likes to run people over. He's very physical. I just don't understand. I'm hoping, and I know it's an unofficial depth chart, but I'm hoping that week one and throughout this season that he becomes the back that gets the bulk of the carries, and he becomes, because I think he has the potential to have, and I'm not saying he's going to be that guy, but he has the skill sets of the Christian McCaffreys and Saquon Barkley when it comes to, you know, his ability to catch the football, his ability to run on first and second down, his ability to run it inside, his ability to get on the edges. Mm-hmm. So that's my hope for this Sunday against Vegas. I don't want to see him just sprinkled in there barely.
Okay. Well, it's the home opener, and
yep,
we cannot wait till it gets there. And in the meantime, you can talk about it all day long and all up until game time. Yeah, game time here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. Thank you, Wiggy.
You got it.
So, I am well documented. I am a Bill Belichick stan.
Mm.
I think the man is the greatest to ever do it. I was certainly disappointed the way things went for Bill Belichick in game number one as a head coach in college football. That being said, I think he will find a way to turn it around, mm-hmm, and the you know, I'm not as concerned as some. I heard, I think both Jones and Keefe yesterday said he is one and done.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yep.
I heard Jones say he might even not make it
through the whole entire season.
Right. I ain't buying that one.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
But anyway, I am concerned about one thing, and I saw something that a video went viral after our show yesterday. And I, I have never, in all of my years of watching football, college or the NFL, I have never seen something like this. But if you're watching on YouTube or Twitch, you can see mid-game. Bill Belichick, the GOAT, mid-game, on the sidelines. And his beloved, Jordan Hudson, approaches him mid-game and needs to have a word or two, a word or two with the greatest to ever do it during the football game. And I am concerned for the mental well-being of Bill Belichick. What in the world could be so important as Jordan Hudson needs to talk to Bill during a football game, during his debut as the head coach of UNC, Curtis?
Oh, I thought this was pregame. I didn't realize this was middle of the game.
Mid-game. It is mid-game.
My thing on this, Greg, is this is why Keith and Jones said that. That it's not that like he's going to like, you know, pee his pants. It's mm-hmm. that this is.
Well, maybe hold on.
It is pregame.
It is pregame.
It is pregame. Okay, I didn't want to say
that
anything.
Makes it. That makes it better.
So it is. So does that make it better?
Yeah,
from your perspective.
I mean, there's plenty of people on the field at pregame. Like there's
no like partner. There's no like no love partner that is out talking to their husband, boyfriend, head coach at pregame.
What would Bill Belichick 10 years ago say about a coach doing this?
Yeah, that I'll give you. You won't for the most part. You won't catch the coach's wife down on the field in pregame. You know, saying whatever to him. She's probably in the box doing whatever. He's focused at that point in time in the game. I don't know what it's about, you know. Who the hell knows?
Well, they're probably recording for the Hulu special.
Oh, yeah,
I'm guessing.
Forgot about that.
So it is just devil's advocate. It is part of her job.
What's her job?
She's
the
executive producer.
Yeah, something like that for Bill Belichick.
So you think Bill Belichick loves executive producers on the sideline right before a game?
The old Bill Belichick certainly didn't. But
right, you mean the one that won?
Yeah, it's
just
a little
different. Successful.
I'm just trying to explain why she might be down there.
Yeah, I heard Jones and Keefe, they did a great job on it. Bill Belichick would mock the crap out of this.
Yeah.
The guy that was Bill Belichick. This is not Bill Belichick. She needs to get the hell away from him.
Yeah, just stay in the suite, you know, when it's pregame. You want to you ride over to the stadium. You walk into the stadium with him. I got that. Maybe after the game, you know, after the game's over, you want to run up, give him a hug. Those type of things happens all the time. But in this moment right now, pregame, all of the focus from players to coaches is about game time. And, you know, that's where your focus would be. Like, because a coach would have an issue with a player pregame running over and talking to his girlfriend or his wife.
Maybe she was asking if he would mind wearing a gold digger bracelet during the game to plug the brand.
I cannot stop thinking about Acrobatics rap last Friday. That was priceless gold.
It
what
was.
He did. So
oh my
great.
God. It was so good.
Oh,
so good.
But the issue with, and I think with this lead, with your lead, Greg, the issue is that when you go out there and you get mollywopped, and then videos like this come out, it instantly is going to be people saying, this is the reason why Bill Belichick doesn't have it no
well,
more.
Well, there are the Bill haters. That is what I hear them saying
right.
all the time.
Right.
That his mind is on this.
Right.
His mind is on you know what.
Right.
And it's not on football.
Right.
But think about guys like Gronk and Edelman and Amendola who were told that they couldn't do anything. Gronk did like the, the motorcycle thing. Like, and then he
monster truck,
and then he was going to trade him to Detroit. Like, this guy is doing everything he demanded players didn't. Like, he's bringing distractions. And I know we did it yesterday, but like, the 33rd team is Belichick's creation. It was a whole ESPN story about how they wanted them to be viewed as the pipeline to the NFL, that they were in between college and the pros. And when you do that on national TV, people here are shocked at the rage people feel. Well, for 30 years, they've been told how he's smarter than everyone. Last year, he was doing podcasts mocking the Patriots and Gerard Mayo for not having a plan. What was your plan, Bill? Like, I would love for Gerard Mayo to quote tweet that and be like, whoa, I wish Bill Belichick had a plan.
And if the score was reversed, this wouldn't be an issue. But unfortunately, because of how Bill used to be, and I think he's obviously changed as a person, as a coach, because it is college and just, you know, with a new influence in his life that happens to be a whole lot younger than him and saying, hey, you need to be more face forward. And when it comes to UNC and your coaching and just your brand, it's all right, all eyes are on Bill, and if he's not, and if, unfortunately, if he's not successful, people are instantly going to go, he was distracted.
Now, I don't understand, and I guess it's because there's an awful lot of dislike for the guy the way he was personally. I don't understand the absolute rush to declare that his college career is a failure after one game. I don't understand, like, I completely disagree with Jones and with Rich. I think he, what else is he going to do? He's got a deal there that's 5 years. Mm-hmm. He's not going to be blown out. The doors are not going to be blown every single game that they play this season. And I don't think the expectation was that they were going to, you know, maybe the expectation was they were going to get themselves to a bowl.
They got to a bowl last year. I think the expectations were a lot higher than that.
ACC championship at least.
Yes.
And I think
Competing for
also don't have Drake May anymore. I mean, he was a huge part of the success there.
But so it's still Bill Belichick, right?
He wasn't there last year and they were a bowl team.
He made the wrong choice at quarterback. I'll tell you that much.
Right.
Wow, Bill Belichick undervaluing the quarterback position. Who would have guessed?
The expectations is it's Bill Belichick, the greatest coach of all time, coming into a school that he should be able to turn around overnight. You've seen other coaches do that. They went to a bowl last year, so for them, you know, Deion's first year at Colorado is completely different because Colorado was coming off winning one game, where UNC last year had went to a bowl game. They won 6 games, and the expectation—
But he changed the entire team.
No, I understand that, but the expectation is—
He brought in a bunch of guys that paid a lot more money.
They should be a contender for the ACC, or one of the teams that's contending for the ACC.
100%.
And I think, Wiggs, what yesterday was, and I agree, Greg, I don't think it's one and done right now. No. I think they're going to win their next 3 games, and we'll see where they stand. But that game, with that attention, is only once this year. Like, that was the standalone Monday night before the NFL season.
Yep.
So to me, what that was is ending any dream, if you still had it, that he was going back to the NFL.
And it's going to be, the next 2 weeks are going to be like, all right, Bill, we expect you to beat Charlotte and Richmond. What do you do in week 4 when you play Clemson? What does that look like?
Yeah.
And, you know, if you lose and it's a close game, then I think people say, okay, it's going to take Bill some time.
Yeah.
But if you get mollywopped again, then it's like, all right, you played a good team in TCU, you played another really good team in Clemson, and both of those games, your teams weren't competitive.
Clemson might put up a 50 burger.
Yes. All right, those are today's leads. Coming up, they said it. Next. Now, Courtney and what is trending.
The Christian Arcan Show. Weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. The Red Sox had a wild one last night, beating the Guardians 11-7. With 2 outs in the 8th, an infield single from Alex Bregman broke the tie. Then Jaron Duran and Trevor Story followed that up with RBI doubles off of Cade Smith for the guys' second 4-run inning of the game. Justin Slayton earned the win with a perfect 8th inning, while Garrett Crochet went 6 innings in his start, giving up 7 runs on 9 hits while striking out 4. Now, Roman Anthony exited the game in the bottom of the 4th with a left oblique injury. He will undergo an MRI today. The Sox have another with the Guardians tonight. First pitch at 6:35. We've got Brennan Bernardino on the mound. Sean McDonough joins Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's Go Shopping, Get Rewarded. Kick things off with Christian Arcan at 5:35 for the MassMutual pregame show. The Patriots hosted 7 free agents at Gillette yesterday. They had some receivers that worked out, as well as defensive backs. They have practice today as they get ready for week 1 against the Raiders on Sunday. Kickoff is at 1. And Northeastern Savings Bank is the leading alternative to using a big bank for businesses and families here in Massachusetts. Upgrade to a local partner. Upgrade to Northeastern Savings Bank, member FDIC and DIF.
All right, coming up, we'll get to They Said It next. One former NFL player says that we need to leave Arch Manning alone.